thank you for tuning in to our Cross Fellowship online message podcast. Now here is Media Director Chris Ball.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, I'm Chris Ball. I'm the Multimedia Director out here at Cross Fellowship, and Greg's given me the opportunity to come share with you this morning just some things that I've been learning here recently, and so yeah, it's nice to be here. So last week, Greg gave a great message where he was just encouraging all of us to dream and to dream big. And he left out of that message saying, he really encouraging us to establish a vision statement for our lives. You know, and this is something that me and my wife, we've been chewing on this for a while. You know, it's like we know we needed to, but it's just hard. I mean, to be able to articulate your vision for the life in a concise and a yet comprehensive way just embodies where you want to go and what do you want to see happen. And so after many failed attempts, we finally locked down one, at least for us, that we think, you know, we would like to start building our lives around and represents where we'd like to go in life. And it's this, it's to discover and to engage the life that is. You see, a while back, we realized that we've settled for a version of life that it just scratches the surface from the life that God created us to enjoy and experience. You know, the life that he designed for us is one that is characterized by higher forms of love and joy and peace, that minus all the baggage that we have in our life now that really prevents us from experiencing all that life could be. At least to the extent that it can be on this side of heaven. But let's be real. You know, in this room right here, there's a lot of relationships that are being represented. We have marriages, we have dating relationships, we have friendships, families, and everything in between. And so as you start looking at the relationships that apply to you, have you ever gotten the sense that, you know, maybe there could be more? You know, that there is a best that you're just not tapping into, that you're not experiencing? At least I know in our marriage, you know, sometimes our marriage feels like this jimmy-rigged contraption, almost like an old TV set where you have to take all the tinfoil and put it on the rabbit ears and just jiggle around until it starts working. And once it works, you just leave it be, you know, because you don't want to mess anything up. You know, and even if it starts getting a little fuzzy, you just leave it as it is because, hey, if it works, it works. Don't mess with it. And so really, that's why we established that particular vision, is because we looked at our lives and said, you know, we don't want to be people that are going to settle for less than what could be. And I believe a lot of times we often settle for far less than what could be because what could be doesn't come easy. If you don't believe me, you can just look at my belly. And I think for a lot of us, it's true. It's a lot of work, and it's just, is it worth it? You know, it's a lot, it's hard work. But then there's those of you in here too, you're the type of people when you're saying, you know what, I'm like you, I don't want to settle. And so, you know, but the thing is, I've been trying, and I've been putting so much effort in to get a breakthrough, but I just can't. You know, and I feel like I can't win, and why should I even try? And so I feel for a lot of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, we feel this way toward our relationship with God as well. You know, at some point or other, you probably got really inspired and really engaged, and you said, you know, God, I really want to know more of you. I want more out of this relationship. And so then you started doing everything that you knew what to do. You start trying everything you knew to try, even maybe some weird stuff, but nothing, never the results that you hoped for. And so the process just left you frustrated, and so you give up, and really just give up hope that you ever could have more than what you presently have. So today we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture found in the book of Isaiah, which I feel provides some answers and some insights and hope for us, for us willing to revisit this thing and just to go deeper in our relationship with God. So let me set the stage for you here, and I'll give you some context into the passage of Scripture we're going to be looking at. You know, if you were brought up in church, or if you've been coming to church for a while, you've probably heard of King Solomon. You know, he's known for his wisdom, but, you know, he was also lived a life of extravagance. And in order to have that sort of lifestyle, he heavily taxed his people. And so what happens is when he died, his son took the throne. And when his son took the throne, the people were just like, you know, we're not having it anymore. And so they revolted and the nation split. So you had Israel in the north, and pretty much they didn't really care much about God. And so they're just like, well, you know, so we're going to do our own thing, and that's just how it's going to be. And then there was the nation Judah in the south, and they were more like overly religious and overly moral, you know, just trying to impress God and other people through their good behaviors. And so, you know, God wasn't really impressed with either one of these nations here. And so this guy, Isaiah, that we're going to read about in the book of Isaiah, he was actually an advisor to the kings of Judah during that time and a prophet to the people. And so pretty much God would speak through prophets in those days to, you know, give warnings or instructions or rebukes and, you know, just basically to keep them on the right path. And so in this passage, what we find is we find a conversation that is going down where God is confronting his people through this prophet Isaiah because they were just going about their relationship with God the wrong way. So let's jump into this here. God says, "Shout it aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins." Okay, so this confrontation is about to go down. And I just want to make a note that, you know, God isn't just confronting people in general, but specifically the people that are in relationship with him. That's all that applies to. And he continues, he says, "For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them." As I'm reading that, that word "seem" just pops out there. They seem eager to know my ways. They seem eager for God to come near. What is it to seem? To seem is to give the impression or the sensation of having a particular quality. What is it to have the impression? To have the impression is to do just enough to leave a mark or to be felt or to become visible. So you're indenting the surface, but you're failing to penetrate on in to the good stuff. So speaking of good stuff, you know, we got a Krispy Kreme back in town, which it's a good thing. Yeah, we can get some cheers for that. And so they make these powdered sugar coated donuts with this really yummy cream filling. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Yeah. So just imagine the horrible reality that you were only able to just lick that powdered sugar on the outside, but you were never able to penetrate in there to that yummy, delectable center. It'd be horrible. I know, I don't even want to imagine it. But in a weird kind of a stretch kind of a way, kind of follow me here, that's what's going on. So basically, God is pointing out that there's barriers in place, that there's something that is keeping them from experiencing the type of relationship that God desires to have with them and that he wishes that they would desire to have as well. You see, once you realize there's a problem, then you can start discovering what the problem is, and then you can apply a solution. So I know we have a lot of medical folks that go to this church here, and you know this might make sense to you, but you start with the symptoms. And you look at the symptoms that reveals a problem, and then you come up with a diagnosis. It's where you pinpoint the problem, and then there's the treatment where you start treating the problem so that you can become back to health, get back to health. And so as we start looking, continuing on in this passage here, we start saying, okay, well, let's start looking at some of these symptoms, and let's see if we can diagnose what, you know, what's causing these barriers. And so it's God's people responding back right now, and they say, "Why have we fasted and you've not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you've not noticed?" I mean, pretty much they're saying, "God, we're trying here, but you know, you're not listening to us." And I think for a lot of us, we felt that same thing. You know, we've called God out that way. But God, you know, he says back, he says, "Well, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You're exploiting your workers and your fasting ends with quarreling and strife, and striking each other with wicked fists. You can't fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and laying in sackcloth and ashes? This is what you call a day acceptable to the Lord? And so really to understand what this back and forth is all about, we've got to look at the context. What's going on with this whole fasting subject? And so fasting is where you're abstaining from something. So you're going without typically food, but it could be anything that you desire. And really the purpose was with fasting, it's to demonstrate to God and to ourselves that we're serious about the relationship. So you know, as I do this, that's what I'm saying. Well, if that's what it's all about, yeah, it makes sense. You know, God, he's calling him out here because of a lack of consistency. He's like, okay, you're saying you're serious about this relationship by fasting, yet on the same day you're cheating your workers and robbing from them. That's, you know, you're kind of communicating something a lot different. You know, that's comparable to somebody saying, you know, maybe one of you ladies out here, a guy says, hey, let's get engaged. You know, like, you're somebody I want to go deeper with. You're somebody I want to do my life with. Yet they're still seeing other people. It's like, why would they even want to go there if they weren't wanting more? And so God is in that same place, and he's like, okay, you know, why are they doing that? It really begs the question. But really, just knowing the context of Judah and the people there and just how overly religious they are, I just imagine them saying something like this. They're like, well, you know, we realize God's pleased with people fasting and humbling and repenting of their sins. That's what that whole sackcloth and ash thing was about. You know, so maybe, you know, maybe if we do these things, we'll earn a little bit of street cred with God, but then we'll also, you know, we'll look a lot better and have it more together than everybody else around us too. And God's just like, and so here's God's problem with that. You know, God is only pleased by those things when they're done as a genuine act of communicating to God that, no, I really do want to go deeper. I really do want more. And God's only pleased there. But just thinking about us, I mean, if we had somebody jerking us around and playing with us like this, we'd be mad, right? Well, let's look how God responds. You know, God, he's not going to sideskirt the issue. He's going to confront the issue. But look how he approaches it. God's confrontations always come with instructions. He never calls us out without also showing us a way out. And as we continue reading in this scripture here, God's going to show them a solution and show them something that's going to help them get through these barriers. But before we go there, I just want to note that God's solution, it's an invitation for them to come and discover him. He's saying, I'm about to tell you where you can find me. You know, and I desire a relationship with you that is I want intimacy, I want deepness. And if you want this for yourself, you can look here. But if you don't, just stop reading. Just you don't even bother reading because, you know, this is for the people that are serious. I'm gonna give you the GPS coordinates to where I'm located. So if you want more, you can start looking there. So this is the solution, and this is the what God says. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe him? Is it not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? And I know some of you are probably scratching your head just saying, I don't know what kind of GPS you have, but that wasn't exactly clear. I don't know. I don't get what he's talking about here. And you see, sometimes God speaks to us in not obvious ways, intentionally. Why? Why wouldn't he just be straight up? Why wouldn't he just tell me what I need to know? And Jesus directly answers this in Matthew 13. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables, in ways that aren't apparent on the front end. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Pretty much he's saying, you know what? if you don't look into it, you know, you're probably not going to understand it. And so for we got any Lord of the Rings fans in here? I think we got a couple. But, you know, J.R. Tolkien wrote into those novels something called moon letters. And I think, for us, it works a lot like that. Pretty much moon letters were something where they'd hold up a blank map, and as it was lit by the light of the moon, the letters would become clear. And so God has designed his word in that way too, where just looking at it, it's almost like that blank page and it doesn't make sense and we're not breaking through. But as we take that word and we begin to hold it up to God's light and say, God, you know, I need you to bring understanding to this. And you'll notice as you begin discovering and pressing in because you want more from God, God will allow those things to become clear. And it'll amaze you that as you get into his word, you start gaining understanding. But here's a nugget. God speaks to those who seek. See, God reserves and gives special insight to those who think him worthwhile enough to pursue. And so I know you're probably still scratching your head and you're saying, okay, well, yeah, okay, but what's all that fasting? You know, God's saying there's a new and a better way of fasting. And well, let's look at this. Remember, fasting is meant as a means of communicating that you want to go deeper with God. Okay, I still don't get it. You know, what's this about loosening chains and setting the slaves free and the hungry and the clothing? You know, what's that all about? And you see the fasting, the type that the religious people were doing in that day, that was something they could do on their own. That's something for them personally. It's like a way of affirming themselves and saying, God, I'm for you. God, I want more of you. And to myself that, yes, I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to go for it. You don't need God's help for that. That type of fasting is something that you can do by yourself. And so this new type of fasting, this new type of showing God that you want to press into him is this. It's actually going to where he's at and engaging the things that God cares about. All those things that he mentioned, that's where he's at. That's where he's working. And you see, proximity equals presence. You know, the closer you get to somebody, the more you sense and experience their presence. As the proximity closes in, the opportunity for intimacy increases. The opportunity. All right, so story time here. I met my wife online, and you know, she lived in Mexico. I lived in Tennessee, and we had this pen pal type of friendship for about 2.5 years. And then she moved at that point to Indiana. So while I was in Chicago one summer, I took a train over to meet her for the first time in person, and her family was there as well. Not long after that, our friendship became a more than friendship. And so that more than friendship thing motivated me to buy a ticket and fly back up to Indiana to be able to spend some time with her alone. And on that trip, our more than just a friendship became a full-blown relationship. You know, and it's really at that point the desire, you know, I wanted more. I wanted more closeness. So I devised a scheme to get her to come to Tennessee. And really the scheme was, all it took was 4 simple words. Will you marry me? And it worked, surprisingly. But nobody hears that story and says, why didn't you just settle for the whole online thing? You know, like, why'd you have to go through all that trouble of, like, traveling up there and doing all that stuff? And, you know, why didn't you do the online thing? Nobody says that because we all know that we're wired to desire intimacy. That we're, when we find somebody that's appealing to us, it just snowballs there. And you see, over those years of getting to know my wife, it's just interesting how it evolved and how each stage was different and unique. So the writing stage, the 2.5 years of just writing. What did I discover? I discovered how my wife thinks, which is huge. How does she process things? How does she talk about situations and conflicts? And then when we met in person, it opened up a whole new realm to my wife where I saw her gestures and her mannerisms and the quirky things about them that just are unique to them. And then there's living together. And, you know, that's where you see people without their makeup and behind the scenes. And so Now, if you're married, you know, that's a whole different thing. The good, the bad, and the ugly, for sure. More good, though, if she's in here. But really, you'll notice as those things move and move and move closely together, where do you end up with that other person? It always ends up in a bedroom, living together. And so the bedroom stands as a symbol for intimacy. There, the closest forms of intimacy are discovered and enjoyed. And I'm not just talking about the physical side, but I think there's emotional and there's the psychological, and every part of our being intersect there. See, the bedroom represents an intimacy of the mind, body, and the soul, the place that we're constantly wanting to go. And so if you just look at our story, there was barriers in place that kept us from that happening. We had to overcome barriers in order to get to the bedroom, you know, enjoying each other mentally, physically, and spiritually. You know, so what were our barriers? Like, obviously, she's in Mexico, I'm in the States, so there's the geographical barrier, but then there's cultural barriers and many other barriers that we had to overcome along the way to be enjoying the type of intimacy that we enjoy today. And I think the same is true with our relationships with God as well, is there's many barriers that we had got to overcome. And just thinking about your guys' relationships too, even when you get to the bedroom, isn't it true that there's barriers there? If you've been in an intimate relationship, you know all too well all the fears and the anxieties and the expectations that are still present even in that place, that prohibits you and keeps you from experiencing all that those experiences could be. That's just reality. But with those barriers in place, especially with your couples, but also in a relationship with God, Christ is that barrier breaker. And you see, when we engage this relationship with God, we're spiritually dead. And that has to be overcome first. And let's look what it says in Colossians here. It says, when your flesh was still uncircumcised, dead in transgression and swathed in its sinful nature, it was God who brought us to life in him, forgave all of our sins, and eliminated the massive debt incurred by the law that stood against us. He took it all away, and he nailed it to the cross. But that's not all. He disarmed those who once ruled over us, those who had overpowered us like captives of war. He put them on display for the world and showed his victory over them by the means of the cross. So that even enables us, that allows us to even have the potential to have a relationship with God. We have the freedom to press in, but we also have the freedom to walk away. But there's more barriers. Now, even with the opportunity for relationship, there's other barriers that we have to overcome. Injustices, slavery, exploitation, hunger. But we can't really relate to those. But just think on the inside of yourselves. The slavery on the inside, the exploitation, the hunger that we long for on the inside that just seems to suck the joy out of our life and just limits the life that we possibly could have. You don't even want intimacy because you're just so overwhelmed with burdens. Then there's the lies that we believe. More of these internal barriers, the insecurities, the shame, the guilt, that all stem from lies that we believe about ourselves and really failing to believe who God says we are. So here's the ticket right here. When we start engaging the barriers of brokenness in ourselves and others, that's where we discover God, because that's where he's at. He's working in those places. Anything that represents a barrier in your life, that's where God's engaged, and that's where he's working. So he's saying to these people here, rather than just fasting on your own, you're not going to find me there. You're going to find me working inside of yourself and find me working in others, any place that represents a barrier. And I notice as I look at my life, and in those moments where I've engaged the anxieties and I've engaged the addictions in my own life, that's where God has been closest in dealing with those things. And as I've gone on mission trips and and done those things, God has been closest and God has been most evident. Has nothing to do with the mission. Has everything to do with the person and the people there. There's broken people there. Wherever you're at where there's broken people, that's where God's working and that's where you'll find him. So we started this whole thing with a vision. So that's where we're going to end it here. God's vision for each of us is to be in baggage-free relationships with him and with those around us, where we can experience true intimacy as he designed it. And you see, when he was calling out his people here, that's why he was calling him out. He's saying, I am pursuing you, and I'm trying to show you a love, and I'm trying to pour into you, but you're just playing games with me. And you're not letting me have the type of relationship with you that would really change your life. As God's love, as he desired to flow it into them, they were stopping it. And so really, that's why they were exploiting their workers and treating others harshly, is because they had no love to give to anybody else. And so it's God's desire, and what God is saying through this message here today is he's saying, come close and discover how I love. I want to pour into you. I want these barriers broken, and I am working on the barriers on my end, and I'm doing everything to pave the way for you to have that type of relationship. If you want that relationship too, come on, press in. Press in, and we'll overcome these barriers together, not separate. And the vision in that is, and the goal in all that is like that cheesy donut illustration, is that all of us together will be able to experience that love and freedom and break into the gooey, savory, yummy stuff in the middle and be able to enjoy the best that there is to life as God designed it. And he leaves us with some promises. He says, the scripture continues on there, says, if you take me up on this, if you take me up on the relationship that I want to have with you, if you press in, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, I'm here. If you do away of the yoke of oppression, and the pointing of the finger, and the malicious talk, and you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land, and strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called a repairer of broken walls and a streets with dwellings. How is that possible? It's because you open yourself up to the flow. You allow God to flow into you. Then that flow goes to others. You will be springs of water that never fail. Let's go and pray. Father, just thank you so much for this opportunity to share this message, because it's one I know that I need to hear. And it's one that, God, in so many ways, I've been resisting a relationship with you and just playing games. And Lord, I just pray that you would just allow us each to see just your incredible love. And even just when you come at us and you start calling us out for things, it's all because you just want so much depth in relationship with us. You desire intimacy with us. God, I pray, just give us a vision and just that it is possible for us. And God, just help us to have the strength and the courage to press in and find you, God, that we can break through those barriers by your strength and get to the good stuff. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.